It's the American Parlor Holiday Special, and I'm J.P. Houston, your host here at the piano. A.K.A. the King of Yuletide, A.K.A. Johnny Mistletoe, A.K.A. all three Scrooge ghosts and a bag of chips, the King of Ever-Loving Christmas. Recognize. All right, I may have given myself those titles, but hold on, hear me out. There's no entertainer that's as holidayed up as I am. Look at my piano. You can't see it? Well, maybe that's because you don't have the heart of a little child. Maybe you should go get one. Figuratively, you maniac. We gotta keep this holiday appropriate. All right. How about this? What if we hold a pageant, like a beauty pageant, but for Christmas? You know, poise. Got that. The beauty category. Got that unlocked too. Talent. I can chuck a tinseled baton. And for the finale, as always, the political question. It's easy because no matter what, when in doubt, you just go to the old standby. I believe the children are our future. You teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. That one never fails. I've been Miss Oklahoma 7 times with that. And if I can win Miss Oklahoma, I can definitely take the crown for the first annual Mr. Christmas.
Mr. Christmas, Mr. Christmas, Mr. Christmas got the jingle and the jangle jolly. You can't diss this, so come get with us tonight. Mr. Christmas, Mr. Christmas got the mondo merry and the heavy holly.
For example, there's nobody in the world who knows as much about traditional holiday music as me. I practically am like a Christmas musicologist. For example, let's look at the 12 days of Christmas. You know, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, partridge and a pear tree. Little known fact about that song, it's actually the story of someone being gaslighted with weird presents. You know, first I'm going to start off with random birds. That'll confuse them. Then I'll throw in some rings. And then actual people. By the time there's lords leaping around the house, they'll start losing it. And then I'll repeat it over and over and over until they're committed. It's a cruel, cruel song. No. Feliz Navidad, it turns out, was actually written by a pessimist. The lyrics are supposed to be delivered, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Oh, here, what about the 3 kings? It's a cautionary tale, sort of a biblical pro tip. If 3 older gentlemen show up at your door at midnight bearing incense and oils, wearing robes, don't let them in, they're swingers.
Mr. Christmas, Mr. Christmas, Mr. Christmas got the jingle and the jangle jolly. You can't diss this, so come get with us tonight. Mr. Christmas, Mr. Christmas got the mondo merry and the heavy holly.
Man, I'm really running away with this competition. I mean, I'm practically radiating holiday spirit from my fingertips, like a shiny golden god. Bow before the awesome power of my indomitable Christmas domination while you quake in your weak store-bought bad sweaters and hail the true Mr. Christmas. Okay, look, wait. Maybe it went to my head a little. Couldn't we just, like, send me 3 ghosts and scare me straight or something? My favorite ghost is the ghost of Christmas present. I mean, who doesn't like presents? No, I know it's referring to the tense. I mean it in the Buddhist sense. I love presents. Do Buddhists have a holiday in December? I don't know. I know we've got Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. The atheists, they throw spaghetti at each other, I think. What about the Buddhists? Just listen on your rooftop for the sound of 1 hoof clacking, I guess. I might be digging a hole here. I don't know. I'm losing the plot. Look, if you just give me another chance, I'll turn this thing around. It'll be like the ending of It's a Wonderful Life. A real redemption story. Like little Zuzu says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Which is a little dark because, well, the only way to make new angels is to kill people. Oh. Hold on. Come back. Come on.
Mr. Christmas. Mr. Christmas. Mr. Christmas got the jingle and the jangle jolly.
I guess I'm going to have to keep working on my humble holiday spirit a little. If you hang around and enjoy the show, I'm sure I can convince you. We have a ton of friends joining in. Our favorite sketch folks are here. We've got Hannah Gantz and Stephen Benequist, Matt Knutson, Bill Cott, Brendan McKay. They're all pitching in. And we've got seasonal tunes from Rubber Band Gun, Fellow Robot, Art Bedell, and a whole lot more. Stick around. The swimsuit competition is coming right up.
Mr. Christmas, Mr. Christmas, Mr. Christmas got the jingle and the jangle jolly. You can't diss this, so come get with this tonight. Mr. Christmas got the Mondo Merry and the heavy holly. Got the Mondo Merry and the heavy holly.
Every holiday season, I like to sing this next song. I wrote it a few years back. It's called Merry Merry.
Out in Whitechapel slums, all the bums warm their hearts on stolen sherry. They're singing songs, taking slugs from the cup, singing fa-la-la-la-la, merry, merry. Fa-la-la-la-la, merry, merry. Inside the walls of St. Paul's, Father calls out a hymn for the meek and weary. The Father, the Ghost, yeah, the Son and his mom singing Amen, Mary, Mary. Amen, Mary, Mary. In the steeples, the ringing bells are tolling from Poland to Israel, where they burn the candles 8 long days and holy nights. All Saudis feasting on their halal, eat our fitter, praise be Allah. All is well when the world is full of love and light, and we all sing fa-la-la, Mary, Mary. Back in Whitechapel slums, all the bums polish off their frozen sherry. They'll close their eyes, drift away as they sway, singing fa-la-la-la-la, merry, merry. Fa-la-la-la-la, merry, merry. Fa-la-la-la-la, merry, merry.
Now here's a special holiday message from APS news correspondent Matt Knutson.
Hello, friends. It's Matt Knutson. And it's that time of year again. After taking the last year off, it's time to say yes to the holidays. It's a time to take off your Nebraska Cornhusker sweats and put on pants that actually have a zipper and maybe a couple of buttons. After realizing it's too late to order online, it's time to rush out to the mall to buy presents for your family and loved ones. To drive around the parking structure looking for a spot until you find yourself on the fifth level down thinking, oh man, just how underground am I right now? I sure hope there's not an earthquake. Man, it would be nice to have one of those cyanide capsules that they give to spies. It's time to impulsively buy your brother a gift card at the Sunglass Hut, because even though you're not sure if he needs sunglasses or not, it's easier than admitting you don't know him very well. It's the time of year to log on to the internet and attend your company's Zoom Christmas party, because you're still, quote, hybrid, and put yourself on mute as you profanely express your disappointment that your company isn't giving out holiday bonuses because it's been, quote, a tough year. It's time to attend your neighbor's in-person party because you could tell him you're out of town, but then you just have to sit at home with the lights out, or he'll know that you're a total liar. It's time to smile and nod and count the number of times you hear people say the word normal. Because in the before times, normally, people never said the word normal as they do now. But in the new normal, normal is normally all people talk about. It's time to nervously clench as you hear someone cough from across the room and hold your breath until you can politely leave the party. It's time to go home. Curl up with a good YouTube and admit that even though you look forward to the pandemic officially being over, you'll miss having an excuse for not doing things. Because if you're being completely honest with yourself, you just don't want to. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and from the Knutson family to yours, sleep in heavenly peace.
Well, we're always happy when our next guest can join us on the program, a great folk singer-songwriter from the original Greenwich scene, writer of many amazing songs. Here he is with one of his own holiday standards.
Hi, J.P. Art Podell here. And this is my Christmas song. Actually, I wrote this song quite a few years ago, and I was fortunate enough to have somebody like Anne Murray record it. It was the title song of her album, and I guess I'm pretty proud of that. But I thought maybe the composer's version might be lovely today for your folks. So everybody, a Merry Christmas, and here it is. If I had my way this Christmas, if all I could wish could be, of all the great wishes in this wonderful world, I'd only ask for three. And if I could have three wishes, if my first wish came true, there'd be peace on earth, goodwill among men, love in all that we do. Can you imagine a world like that? What a wonderful that I would wish it would go on forever for people like you and me. And if I had my way this Christmas, if both the others came true, my third wish would be for now and forever to share all my with you, share all my wishes with you. Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas from our friend Art Podell, artpodell.com. Now here's something dark and funny. A little Christmas twist from our friend, Bill Cott.
'Twas the night before Krampus, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. I made sure of it. Your holiday spits out streams of empty words, signifying its own hollow shell. A hollow day. But what of mine? Mine holiday, my holiest of days. On Krampus Nacht, there is nothing but a feeling of regret. So many useless phrases, used as a metaphorical crucifix to keep away the Krampus, the ultimate consequences of your actions. Good King Wenceslaus looked out on the feast of Stephen. The people At his castle gates, the proud Bohemians were feasting upon Stephen. Why, yes, Virginia, there is a Krampus. I am in your closet. Don't move an inch. We three kings of Orient. Orient? What is this, 1986? I inhabit the nightmares of small children everywhere. Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney comes the anthropomorphic antithesis of Saint Nick. Streams of streetlights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Hear the snow crunch. See the kids bunch. This is Krampus' big scene. And above all this bustle, you'll hear silver bells. Silver bells. Pull the string. Pull the string! Soon it will be Krampus Day.
Actor and comedian Bill Cott. You can find Bill on his site, theimprovtrick.weebly.com. The Improv Trick. Bill Cott. Kevin Basco is coming up with some really clever pop out of Philadelphia under the name Rubber Band Gun. So I reached out and asked him if he'd come up with something interesting for Christmas. Here's Rubber Band Gun.
Thank you.
Rubber Band Gun with a fun new Christmas tune. The houses moaned, the bricks rattled by the shiver, bone dry and creaking to sag under the snow roof hats above the shutter-closed eyes. The tightly shut doors like mouths to keep from shouting, "It's too cold!" Furnace fiery hot in an angry battle below. Gray chimney smoke like out the ears. And the poor homes, they suffered, laying down their lives to protect the Christmas kids inside. Safe and warm inside. The babes, the folks, and one spare tree on a clamp trunk metal stand, with only a trickle sip to stay green. And then, into ours, with a suction-sealed gust from the back glass sliding doors, a snow wall left standing where the glass just was, bursts my dad, parka head to toe, just his nose peeking out from the fur hood trim, and his hands, his bare, snow-sunk hands. He'd iced them up for full effect, and then threw the door like a 1950s sci-fi monster. And we'd run, and we'd laugh, and we'd scurry. Oh, no, 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 not the cold back hands. No, no, there was no escape, and, well, we didn't want one. TVs were square then, and as deep as they were wide, and they fuzzed like ants fighting in between channels. The brown box remote was on a long wire into the set, and you could thumb dial fine tune into any of the 13 channels. You click the click button, press it down, and a game show host with a long skinny microphone, and click again, Barney Miller getting there, click again like entertainment roulette, and you click, and once a year, a Play-Doh snowman with Burl Ives' voice. The season began every year the same way, close and fast, signaled just a week ahead by the old rerun classic. Now, Dad loved a gag. As you know by now, he loved a gag. Not just a good cold-handed sneak attack, but a fake ketchup spill on the rug to rile my mother up. Or he ended every bedtime story like, "The end," and we jump. And this year, for an unsuspecting four-year-old, yours truly, the big one. A worldview-changing trick of leap-year shenanigans. Gothic church standards and swing-era tunes, from somber Three Kings and Merry Gentlemen to light-as-air snowmen and Santa Claus kissers. The songs are deep and true in our unconscious minds, and they paint on our memories and even in the sights in the now. The songs is air and sound and time and smell. And feelings and so long in our ears that, well, we don't only hear them, but they're part of our world, and they fall with the snow. I was a firm believer and an avid supporter in Santa Claus and his generous philanthropy. I respected the rules and revered the man wholeheartedly, and the Christmas countdown had started every year on the 26th of December, the 364 days to go. I carefully minded my P's and Q's all year through the spring, stay on the good list, summer fun with an eye on the horizon, and when summer fun ended against the September school drudge, I would shut down into a dissociative hibernative state, you know, coast through kindergarten doldrums with a Rudolph in the headlight stare. Just nod yes if it felt like they were looking in my direction, and hover at the back of the duck-duck-goose circle, keep a low profile, and slack-jawed donkey-chew along during the sing-alongs. No need to really ape the words in a blur of snotty, bull-cutted kids. Just moving your mouth open and close was enough to pull the wool over the teacher's eyes. Probably just another wheel on the bus, right? That's what's coming up. I'll just zone out here, and I'll do the puppet mouth, but then trickling in, something about a bell. Something a little brighter. No wheels, no ducks, but sleighs. Sleighs to sing, my eyes tuned in, focused, and like a bear coming out of the cave, ready to wake. I sang for Christmas. I sang like in the story, and almost even rhyming too. Visions of sugar plums danced in my little kid eyes, and cartoon elves and turkeys and trees, and hold me down before I fly. It's almost Christmas. The Gregorians, whoever they were, they'd miffed it. The true time, the big time, the time of suns and stars and moons. It doesn't mind the Gregs and their feeble calendars, no. Time moves as it wants. Man just runs to keep up and to try and keep track. So as the old calendar showed signs of slippage, they fudged it a little. Every 4 years, a hiccup with a day pulled from thin air. In February, that's right, in February, we leap. Everywhere except Canada, around the time of my fourth trip around the sun. Uncle Henry would put the final decoration on the tree. It was a family tradition. Old Henry was 6'1,000". He wisped in the wind and teetered with a sway like the tree that he stared eye to eye with. You see, well, he was the only one capable of reaching the top in my family of little people. He wasn't a real uncle, as it were, just my mother's gay best friend, and uncle was easier to explain. He'd reach all the way up to the ceiling, 7 feet up, and the tree would sway a little as he grabbed hold and found his balance, and then plunk, a tacky crooked star from the Sears catalog on top. We were allowed to open one present on Christmas Eve, probably something mailed in from Aunt Anita up north, like a knitted soap on a rope poodle. Worthy of a laugh and enough to keep us from eating our own hands in fevered Christmas anticipation. Wait for it. Wait for it. Here we go. Chocolate, good. A couple of jokes, good. Some charades. Piano sing-along, and everybody's gathering around the tree. Well, here we go. I'm the youngest, so I reach out for a big shiny green wrapping on a big fat Christmas box, and the door flies open, a cold rush blows through the warm room, swirling snow, a dramatic hush, and my father calls out, "Stop!" And then he explained, out of breath and worthy of an Oscar, "It is a leap year, and the Queen has declared Christmas has to be skipped." The Queen of England, and colonial Canada by proxy, works for a 4-year-old, the Queen has made an emergency measure, probably on a long cartoon-style scroll, that Christmas is canceled. Oh God, no. Oh no, not Christmas. It's the only day. Skip all the other ones, but not this. My heart raced. But what about the presents and the chocolate and the songs and the turkey? And take my birthday, take Easter, take any day, but not this one. At the top level of government, in a secret room somewhere, at a long table, the decision had come down. The calendar was at stake, and one day had to go, lest we slip out of time and away from the sun into oblivion. No tears. Not a wail or a whimper. I just sat stunned in silence, staring off into empty space as Christmas things kaleidoscoped and faded away off into nothing in my devastated eyes. And then the phone rang, and my father answers. He nods, yes, okay. Well, his sources at the newspaper, they were giving him updates, right? A wink. I stared up his leg to his face, trying to make out the meaning of his mumbles and his nods. The council has reconvened, they're reconvening, okay, and they're vigorously debating the fate of Christmas with a last-minute appeal from Santa Claus himself. Now, what kind of queen would do this? Listen to reason, you Canadian dollar bill smirking monster. The night stretched on. I paced the multicolored 70s carpet back and forth, and in my mind I could see them, the Pope, the Queen, Chinese emperors, Russian generals with big eyebrows and furry hats, a montage of shouts, impassioned pleas, and of course, Santa at the head of the table, steadfastly holding his ground. Filibuster, Santa! Filibuster for all us kids! The snow was setting on the hollow-faced homes, stressed on the hill, their window eyes wide, the chimney just to choke out a cough with a sick plume of smoke. The beautiful white in the world, it was swallowed by a sparse cold gray. And my father, head down, out through the door mouth, onto the hard ice, silently into the unknown, through the empty streets, alone and stoic. And me, the teardrop in the house's eye, one story up, watching nervously and hoping for a miracle. Dad was a cheapskate, and he could pinch a good penny. The Christmas Eve overtime on the night shift at the news desk, it was always too much temptation for the miser. So every year he'd cave in and take the shift. Tonight he promised he'll call, and we'll know before anyone else. He was on the front lines, after all, and word from over the pond, it would come in on the newswire at work. The newswire at work, it would spring to life to tick out the truth one dot matrix line at a time. But it was calm. There's no news on your average holiday, not a jitter of war or a stock ticker plunge, no. The world was standing still and waiting for imaginary word from the Queen herself. 8:59. I'd wore a hole in the carpet. The clock on the wall's ticking, almost bed. There's no way we're going to save it. The family around the table broadly debating, discussing the potential outcomes. Well, I'm sure with a wink, but it was all too real to me. I was ready to pack it in. Almost 9 o'clock, and then... Well, then I'd have to start the excruciating 365-day countdown all over again. No Christmas in the middle to break it up. I looked to the crooked star on the ceiling, poking tree, and I asked with all my heart and the conviction of 1,000 Sally Field Oscar speeches, I prayed, "Oh, please, my Lord and Savior Santa Claus, let there be a Christmas for all the girls and boys, but mostly for me. Just this one time, can't we just slip off the sun a little?" And then the phone rang. It's ringing. The phone, it was ringing like the sound of church bells. The phone was ringing. Yahoo door. I ran to the kitchen, climbed the chair, and I picked up. My father's on the line. "Hang on. I have the Queen's assistant on the phone, all the way from London. He's going to give you the news as the vote comes in." Rattle some fake static. "Hello. Is this young JP in Canada? Cheerio." He did sound a lot like my father, but... that accent. No. Nobody can fake an accent. The seconds ticked. I crossed my fingers. The Queen's making her decision. The notes being passed to the chairman. And Christmas. Yes, Christmas. What? Christmas is. Christmas. They say Christmas is. Christmas is. What? Christmas is on. Hark, the herald angels say, "Oh, joy. Christmas is on. And the presents get given. And the turkey gets cooked. Oh, joy. Oh, bliss. Christmas is on." And the houses smiled and swayed as the stars came out to twinkle on the snow-speckled whirlwinds of peaceful-hilled Toronto streets. The chimneys puffed like old-fashioned dads on their pipes, and the upstairs window eyes slowly drifted close to peacefully sleep for the long winter night on the best Christmas, the one that almost wasn't.
Up with a star, down below where the presents all are. Fa-la-la, playing catch with the moon, shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
The APS holiday party continues with something from actor Brendan McKay.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. It's an honor. My name's Ted Grimble, and long story short, my daughter Genevieve kept harping about how she wanted a hippopotamus for Christmas, and I obliged. Yes, I bought my daughter a hippopotamus for Christmas. It might seem like fun and games, but right now, I have a cautionary tale for those of you parents out there buying exotic animals for your kids this holiday season. Now, I've heard a lot of name-calling from different folks in town over the last few weeks. A few people have called me a sucker. I am. On more than one occasion, I've been called a chump. Can't say that I'm not. I've been called a clod, a dullard, a halfwit, blockhead, dolt, and nincompoop. These are all 1,000% correct. Now, despite all of the name-calling, I want to tell you, listener, what a disaster the experience of hippopotamus ownership has been for my family. This is the story of the Grimble family hippopotamus. This is the story of Hero the Hippo. Now, let's start with the financials. Buying a hippopotamus is not cheap. I got Hero the Hippopotamus on a Black Friday deal from a gentleman in Florida by the name of Gunnar McGlusky. $125,000. Nothing to shake a stick at, if you ask me. And we did have to shake multiple sticks at Hero the Hippo to get him into the moving cage. Ugh, moving cage. There's an expense you don't consider. But my dearest daughter, Genevieve, really made a good case for buying the hippo. She just wouldn't stop singing that dang song. I mean, I took out a second mortgage on the house just to pay for the darn thing. And you just don't think of all the details when you're buying one of those blubber babies. 50 grand transforming our two-car garage into a hospitable hippo habitat. I mean, the weekly upkeep on food is an astronomical cost. Speaking of astronomical costs, You really don't consider the toll having a hippopotamus takes on a community. But my darling Genevieve did not want a dinky tinker toy. So, she got Hero the Hippopotamus. And Hero the Hippopotamus, he's violent. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You do not want to get near that fella at all. He will bite and has. His first victim was our dog, Rusty. Bit right through his little doggy femur. Don't worry, he's doing all right. He's taking quite well to having only three legs. Second casualty would have to be the neighborhood boy, Charlie Dinkle. He came over with some Christmas cookies from his mother, and Hero the Hippo chased him for darn near 20 minutes before ultimately chomping right into Charlie's little shoulder meats. He's recovering, and that scar is going to be pretty wild. Third major act of violence was on my dear sweet Genevieve. She was giving him a bath, which she lovingly called a garage massage. Anyway, during the massage, Hero sat on her foot and crushed all of her phalanges in her left foot. She's still recovering, but won't be giving any hippo massages anytime soon, in a garage or elsewhere. I'll tell you that much. Now, I know what you're thinking. Ted, there's got to be some benefits, right? What's the silver lining? Right off my dome, I got to say none. Like zero. I mean, hippopotamuses are not for the faint of heart. Sure, there's the news exposure. Sure, there's the attention from the neighbors. And sure, they're cute when they're babies and or have their mouths closed. But Hero the Hippo has ostensibly ruined my life and the phalanges of my one and only daughter. So, parents, this Christmas, don't be a sucker like me. Buy your kid a goldfish, a hamster, maybe even a guinea pig or two. I heard they get lonely. I don't know, but if your daughter tells you that they only like hippopotamuses and that hippopotamuses like them too, don't believe them. Okay? Merry Christmas, everybody.
Now, put in those earbuds you got in your stocking and enjoy some soothing Yuletide mic work from comedian Hannah Ganson.
Hello, and welcome. I am Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, and welcome to my ASMR channel. Tonight, we will enjoy some soothing sounds. First, I will eat Santa's cookies. So delicious and festive. And now, rubbing my antlers on the microphone. Nothing like a good antler rub early in the morning. And how about some clicks from my hooves up on the housetop? Click, click, click. And next, I'll nimbly nuzzle you with my rosy red little nose. And now, I will kick this elf in the stomach. Oh! Yes, I do enjoy kicking an elf in the stomach. Oh, Santa's coming. I gotta go. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Comedian Hannah Ganson. HannahGanson.com. I called up Anthony Pedroza from the band Fellow Robot and asked him if he could come up with something special for us. Here's an original Christmas song featuring his son, Orion.
Santa, miss your Santa. Maybe you forgot my name. There were snails inside my stockings. This year things are not the same. All the elves went helter-skelter. You were gone without a trace. Now you're back and all seems well, but something's different in your face.
And I wanna know what happened. What happened out there in the snow? Why are you saying
hoofs up on the rooftop? When I looked, I saw no sleigh. You were acting like a reindeer. You were even eating hay. Hey! Why you acting like a thief now? Sneaking through the window pane. You're causing us such grief now. Santa, have you gone insane?
And I wanna know what happened. What happened out there in the snow? Why are you saying ha-ha-ha now? Instead of saying
Anthony from the band Fellow Robot. Here's something from our friend Stephen Benequist.
Dear Messrs. Macy and O'Houlihan, care of Macy's Department Stores, LLC. I hope this email finds you in good health this holiday season. Before getting to the meat of the matter, lest you think me a madman or a fool, let me assure you that I know that the current CEO of your world-famous department store chain is Mr. Jeff Jeannette. But out of a profound respect for your august commercial enterprise, I address my missive to the founder, Mr. Rowland Hussey Macy, and to the manager of your branch store in Nashua, New Hampshire, Mr. Todd O'Houlihan. And just as I would sooner slash my own throat than waste one moment of dear old Rowland Hussey's time, equally do I value every second of yours, Mr. Todd Hussey, I presume the name comes with the title. And so, to spare my life and your sacred hours both, I shall lower the blade from my aorta and plunge straight into the very heart of the matter, the, as the French say, raison d'être. To wit, I write to you today to submit myself for your consideration for the role of Father Christmas at the Macy's at number 310 Daniel Webster Highway at the Pheasant Lane Mall, Nashua, New Hampshire. Oops, I see I referred to the jolly old elf by his common name in my home country of, you guessed it, jolly old England. But not to worry, I assure you I will answer without fail to all the tykes of New Hampshire when they say, Thanner, can I sit on your lap? Thanner, I want a pony. And if any little cherub should chance to call me Kris Kringle or Sinterklaas, I will not be thrown. I shall give them all the same magical twinkle of mine elfin eye. For I, Mr. O'Houlihan, am a consummate actor. This is no boast. It is a simple statement of fact. I act. As surely as I breathe, dance, and sing. I have studied at Stella Adler, under Lee Strasberg, behind Uta Van Hagen, and next to Mr. James Belushi. Let's just say that, according to Jim, I'm the best stand-in he ever bumped fists with. I have played command performances for a queen, although technically I was paying her, and my devotion to the method is such that, to prepare for a stage production of Stand and Deliver, I once spent 16 years as a substitute middle school teacher. Not only did this prepare me for the role of Jaime Escalante, which I did not get, but as it pertains to my role for you, as Papa Noel, as the little enfant from nearby Montreal will surely call me, I have learned to endure, with a smile on my face, even the foulest behavior a child can dole out, from a cruel caricature to a sharp knee to the root chakra. And that's not all. Another reason I'm perfect for the job is my easy commute. I live just over the river in Bellows Falls, Vermont, known smirkingly by the wags on the New Hampshire side as Fellows Balls, an insult that bounces limply off my chest, I assure you. Why do I not find a Macy's in my home state in which to portray Santa, you ask? Sadly, though the humble Green Mountain State is rich in cheese, maple syrup, and hippies, it has a Macy's-shaped hole in its heart. Yes, while Macy's 517 stores are strewn liberally around the United States, like the fertilized eggs of a bullfrog in a dank, musky bog, Vermont is one of seven lonely states, shivering in a Macy's-less darkness, known as the Axis of Evil. But you know this, Mr. O'Houlihan. If I go any further down that road, I run the risk of wasting your time. You, more than anyone, already know that Vermont and Mississippi lack what Guam and both Dakotas boast. A Macy's. But back to Bellows Falls. A mere 76 miles away from the splendors of Nashua. Spitting distance, you might say, in my trusty Subaru Loyal coupe. To the Loyal, those miles are as inches, speedy as Santa's sleigh. When the adorable tykes ask me, Thanner, how do you get all the houses in the world in just one night? I'll point out to the parking lot and say, Jalen, Santa drives that Subaru Loyal coupe. And if they should ask, but Thanner, how do you get all the presents in that little coupe? Wouldn't a big truck be better for the job? I'll say, Braden, there's magic in that little coupe, and that's the best-kept secret in Bellows Falls. A couple of more reasons I really am the only man for the job, and I think you'll find these real deal closers. I am intimately familiar with the Pheasant Lane Mall, having sampled both the burgers and the brews at Red Robin's Gourmet Burgers and Brews, and having shopped at Love Sack Furniture to road test the Sealy Sturdy Man Orthopedic, which I later bought online at a discount. And speaking of Love Sack, my landlady Sharon happens to be shift manager there. If you require references, you will find her there until 10 p.m. weeknights. And as a bonus, if you wish to fight global warming, I assure you, when you give me this job, Sharon and I will carpool, and it will be in the Loyale. I don't have to tell you, one of us will be designated driver, because after all, there's only one steering wheel. One of us will get to sit back and relax. Finally, why, you may be asking yourself, would a celebrated man of stage and screen want to swaddle himself in red velvet, hide this face beneath a snowy cloud of false whiskers, and perform the duties of half chair, half wishing well, 12 hours a day for $15 an hour? What can I say? I live to act. Looking forward to your reply. Yours sincerely, Santa Claus, parentheses, Darius L. Barrymore. Ho, ho, ho.
Another quirky bit from the great Stephen Bennequist, stephenbennequist.com. Well, thanks to Stephen, Hannah Ganson, Bill Cott, Matt Knutson, Brendan McKay, Art Padel, Rubber Band Gun, and Anthony Pedroza for joining us for the holidays. Well, it's been a strange year, I suppose. Maybe a strange few. Maybe a strange decade or two. I don't know. We're just trying to get back in the swing of it here. And we hope to see you again in the new year on American Parlor Songbook. I guess I didn't win the competition. Can't win every pageant. You have to get dolled up and do your best, but you can't... Wait, what? I am?
There he goes.
Oh, my God, I can't.
Look at those satin chaps.
I can't believe
the dazzled
this.
Shirt, old-fashioned Santa hat.
Thank you.
There is no doubt this clearly is the greatest man to ever live, Mr. Christmas.
I will serve with dignity.
Mr. Christmas.